Had it looked toward the owl as he opened his huge eyes.
I will make my own way at my own pace, thank you.
As the owl settled back to sleep, Dwink was out of bed and seated with Perris in the ancient wheelchair. Humphrey justified the squirrel maid's judgment of him as a good chair pusher, putting all his considerable force into the task. The big young hedgehog whizzed them across the lawns with lightning speed. They skirted the apple and pear trees, rattling and clattering into the orchard, amidst raucous cheers from the Dibbons. Panting for breath, Humphrey called to Friar Scarple.
Three more for tea, if you please!
Sister Violet served them, loading plates with plum tart, almond slice, honeyed nut bread and fresh fruit. She topped up their beakers with dandelion and burdock cordial, chilled from the cellars. As they ate, Dwink related what Martin the Warrior had said in his dream. Perrit lowered her voice, trying to contain her excitement.
Listen, Humphrey, if you're still working in the cellars, you'll have to investigate that door again. Give it a good looking over.
Dwink nodded his agreement.
I'll wager there's more clues to be found. Maybe a riddle or some secret writing.
Humphrey muttered in embarrassment.
That might be a problem, mate. You see, I ain't much good at reading. Words just look like squiggles to me.
Perrit patted Humphrey's hefty paw.
Don't worry, I'll come with you. I'm a good reader. Always have been since Abbey School.
Dwink looked from one to the other.
Pardon me asking, but what about me?
Perrit stifled a giggle.
You can come too. That's if you can go charging down a full flight of stairs in a wheelchair.
She saw the doleful look on Dwink's face and regretted what she had said.
I'm sorry, mate, but that contraption wasn't built for stairs and steps. It looks like you'll have to wait at the top of the stairs. I'll take some parchment and charcoal down there. If there's anything to record, you'll be the first to see it.
Dwink was getting painful little twinges in his foot paw. He scratched at the bandaged poultice which Brother Cyrillus had bound on.
Righto, when is all this supposed to be happening?
Perrit rubbed her paws gleefully.
As soon as we've had tea, no sense wasting time.
Brother Cyrillus approached, opening his satchel.
Best let me take a look at the footpaw, young'un. Is it paining you?
The young squirrel sighed.
Tis a bit, brother.
He whispered to Humphrey and Perrit.
You two go and look at the door. Leave me here, but come straight back if there's anything to report.
Brother Cyrillus had Skipper lift Dwink from the wheelchair to a blanket spread on the ground. Seeing Dwink was in some discomfort, the good brother administered more of his potion. Dwink began to feel drowsy again. Meanwhile, the Dibbons commandeered the wheelchair, calling to the Laird Bosey eagerly.
Us want a ride, Mr. Bosey. Come on, you'll be a pusher.
Demolishing a sizable portion of fruit pudding and meadow cream, the lanky hare obliged good-naturedly.
Right, my bunnies. All aboard and hold tight. Och, but dinna blame me if in my speed affright ye.
With four Abbey babes sitting in the seat and four more perched in various positions, Bosey took off like an arrow from a bow, yelling,
Away, bull lady!
The Dibbons squeaked, but not from fear. Brother Cyrillus looked up from his task.
I suppose my next patients will be several Dibbons and a foolish hare, judging by the reckless speed of that old contraption.
Friar Scarple merely chuckled.
Sometimes he can be a right old miserable beast, sir. Still, I suppose it keeps you happy.